in the first recording to go over generally the trademark, copyright, and trade secret. So let's get started. For trademark, as you all know, it's related to identification of a product or a service. For example, it can be in the form of a logo, a slogan, a smell, shape, sometimes, color, and a combination of all of these. In the United States, trademark law is a federal level trademark law. That means there's a federal registrator, such as the Patent and Trademark Office. They receive federal trademark applications and they issue certificates for the registration. The difference between the US and Chinese trademark law in one big difference, that is, in the United States, the priority of your trademark is the use date, the date that you first use the mark across different states. That is very different from the Chinese system, where it's a first to file system. As such, in the United States, the dispute between parties about trademark usually lies within the not just the priority, but also the likelihood of confusion, or that is, whether it can confuse consumers who are in the same channel of business or commercial activities will confuse between one mark over the other. At the same time, in the United States, there is also what's known as the common law trademark protection. That is based on the use of the trademark within a state. For example, it is possible for you to register a company that you operate only within the state and you do not sell any products or provide any services outside of that state. When that happens, while you may not have registered a federally recognized trademark application or registration, you do enjoy some trademark rights within the state. And that's usually known as the common law trademark rights. What happens when you have a conflicting trademark rights between a federal registration and a common law trademark? Well, this actually happened over the years. And one of the most famous example was the Burger King trademark. What happened in that case, I mean, very briefly, is that the Burger King mark, before it was federally registered, was actually used by someone locally in Illinois, in southern part of the state. And that little restaurant used that name, selling hamburgers in the close proximities of the cities and communities where they serve. What they didn't realize and they didn't know, there was that the Burger King Corporation that you all, some of you all recognize in the news or advertisement, came from Florida, in another state from Illinois. And back then, before all the communications were so frequently used or widespread, they don't know the existence of each other. As a result, they coexisted for some time in different states until the one in Florida filed for a federally recognized trademark application, where later on they received such registration. And when they tried to open a restaurant in Illinois near the other small business, small restaurants operate, as a result, the courts have to figure out who has a priority, and once that's determined, what to do with the two different parties. They operate the restaurant without knowing the existence of each other, so there's no deceit, there's no fraud involved. So that's why in the United States trademark law, while it is protected, it can be complicated when you deal with local state level protections versus a federal level protections. So please keep in mind that trademark law in the United States has these differences from the Chinese practice. So let's talk about copyright as well. Copyright law is also one of the laws that's mostly discussed and very active since the beginning of the founding of the country. As a result, copyright as well as patent is specifically mentioned in the US Constitution. That significance means the federal government, specifically US Congress, has the right to pass laws regulating copyright issues. Copyright, as you know, protects the expressions of someone's ideas or artistic views in a tangible form. In other words, copyright does not protect ideas, but it does protect the writings, the paintings, the combination of writings and paintings, the music, the notes, and all of those when you fixed in a tangible format. That's when you will have your copyright protected. Copyright registration can only be done in a federal level in the United States. That is with the Library of Congress. So you need to register copyright. You will be going through Library of Congress. But that registration is not necessary. It is necessary when you wish to file lawsuits against someone for copyright infringement, because that the copyright law does give you some additional revenues and avenues for damages. So that's something to consider. And copyright does cover quite a bit of areas such as computer programming. Interface that you use when you are using the computer or your cell phone, music, as well as TV shows, choreography, and as well as dance moves and dance organizations. So those are the various ways copyright can protect you. At the same time, there is also a way to use copyrighted works without the authority or authorization of the authors, and that's known as the defenses of use of copyright or exceptions to the use of copyright. One significant or one important exception is what's known as the fair use. This exception allows people such as scholars, students, to use copyrighted works in their studies, lectures, research, or any other non-commercial activities. And when they use those, they do not need to get permissions. Another exception to that is if you somehow transform the copyrighted works to something else, then you may not be violating the copyright law or infringing someone's copyright. So I know our time is short, so I didn't get the chance to go over copyright law more, but it is definitely an interesting area of intellectual property law, and if you're interested, you should spend more time on that as well. The third form of intellectual property law is trade secret. Trade secrets protect a lot of times all kinds of information that if it's not known to the public and it is reasonably kept in secret, has commercial value that can give commercial advantages over the competitors. As such, in the US development, the trade secret laws usually, it has been until last year, was in the realm of the state law governance. That is, a lot of states have trade secret laws governing their activities within their businesses in the state, and as a result, before last year, there was no civil protections of trade secret law. There was a federal criminal law protection that governs if there's any theft of trade secret. But now, since May of last year, there is a new federal law that provides civil remedies to businesses in a federal level across the state, in other words. So now we have a situation where you probably don't see a lot with other types of intellectual property law, is that when you are dealing with trade secret, there is one trade secret law in the federal level, and there are about almost 49 states that they have their own trade secret laws. That's one of the differences between all the intellectual property laws in the United States, and that one is a significant one. Lastly, let's talk about patent law. And I'm going to use this brief introduction to go over the patent law a little bit, but if the recording is getting too long, I may need to divide this part into two segments. The US patent law, as you probably know, has long history.